Scripture this morning will be from 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you here this morning. Heard in the announcements about the name change. So I don't know if this is technically the first Sunday morning of the Center Village Church of Christ, or if it's, I mean, we have a potluck next week. Maybe that this is the last Sunday morning of the Northeast Church of Christ. But either way, I'm honored and privileged to be here with you this morning. It's definitely a bright and beautiful day. Going to be warm, I understand, today, this week. It's been warm. That is definitely not my kind of weather. If you enjoy it, that's great. I'm happy for you. But I do not like the hot weather. If it gets to like 60 degrees and overcast, that's when I'm happy. So even though it's going to be extremely warm, it has been warm, if you'll indulge me, I wanted to talk about snow for a little while. It puts me in a little bit of a better place. Specifically, the analogy, the phrasing of when something snowballs. You might be familiar with that phrase. And so the idea is that, you know, if you had a snowball at the top of a hill, it's very small, it's very manageable, but as you roll it down the hill, it collects snow, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and larger and rolls faster and faster and faster. And so it starts as something small and then grows and grows and grows. And this morning, I kind of wanted to take that concept and think about it in a spiritual way, kind of like the way momentum affects us in our spiritual lives. I wanted to first kind of, you know, examine, you know, does sin snowball in our lives? And then, you know, later on, can righteousness kind of snowball in our lives? So it kind of started, I guess, with me. And maybe this is just anecdotal, but you know, looking back at my life and looking at some of the things that I did that I know I shouldn't have done, and even at the time knew I shouldn't have done. And maybe you can relate this or maybe not. But once you kind of do something, it almost felt to me like it kind of it sort of like maybe breaks a seal, and then the second time it's a little easier to do something that you thought was wrong. Once you've kind of gotten past it. And then the third time, it's a little easier. And your conscience maybe dulls a little bit the more that you do something. And it becomes easier to do that again, kind of like, you know, a snowball. I wanted to read 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or know him. And again, I just, sadly for me, once I've kind of done something, it made it easier to do it the next time. Or maybe not easier, maybe that's not the right way, but It stung less the second time I did it. But the first time, you know, seemed to affect me more. Our conscience can kind of become numb as we go through that and as we do that. So we've all sinned, of course. And, you know, we know that everyone sins. And we probably see people in the world engaging in things that we know God has said is sinful, but they continually engage in that, They make a practice of it, and they don't seem motivated to repent. And I believe a lot of times that is because they don't view that thing as sinful. They have a different understanding of what is right and what is wrong, or even, you know, really if there is a right or wrong, and who would decide that right and wrong. Our conscience can be kind of twisted into thinking that some things are okay when God says that they're not okay. And mankind has a tendency to try to justify their actions by, you know, deeming it okay in God's eyes, even if, you know, we know that it's not. They don't really look at morality the way that a Christian, a servant of God would. Really, the remedy for those situations is knowledge, is understanding. And even within the church, I think all of us would hopefully agree that we have more to learn. We have growth to do. We have things that we're doing now that, you know, we hope in the future we're not doing. And there could even be things that we're doing now we don't realize are sinful. But as we grow in knowledge, we will recognize that. I think that's the hope that all of us should have. So there's sometimes we're doing things that, you know, we may not realize are sins. We pray that we can learn, that we will grow in knowledge and repent as we see that. But kind of for the purposes of this study, I was more thinking about those things that we know are sinful. And yet, you know, we fall into them still. Where it's not necessarily a matter of our understanding or of our knowledge, but of our choices, of our willpower, of our dedication, of our strength. And I know that it may feel like sin can kind of be like that snowball rolling down the hill. And that was kind of what I imagined as I started thinking about this lesson, was how once you commit those sins, it becomes easier and easier, and it snowballs, and it kind of grows out of control. But I think there is that huge distinction that we need to make, because just like that snowball, it's not just that it's getting larger. It's not just that it's going faster. It becomes too large to control. That's kind of what we mean when we say something snowballs. It got out of hand. We couldn't just stop it anymore. It had become too big. And I think there's a real important distinction that we need to make here spiritually, is that sin, our sin, never goes beyond our control. It never snowballs to the point where we can't choose to avoid it any longer. The passage that was read for us, I'll read again. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Even if your conscience has been eroded, even if you've been practicing lawlessness, if you've been practicing sin, God promises us that it will never get beyond our ability to endure. If sin snowballs in some way in your life, it's never unmanageable. God provides us with the way out. And that is so encouraging to know. You never have to wonder if you can endure something. You never have to wonder if you're strong enough. You never have to wonder if you're able. God is providing you that escape, that doorway, that exit from sin. We just have to look for it, and we have to choose it. There's never a time where we're incapable of serving God, of making the right choice. Even though our adversary, the devil, would have us believe otherwise. He wants us to think we can't endure things. He wants us to think that we're not strong enough, that a situation is the cause of our sin and not our own choices, not our own volition, that we don't have agency over what we do. I'm a teacher. I teach fourth grade. We just started school a couple weeks ago. And one of the things that I talked about with my class was the idea of a growth mindset. That's something that we speak of in education. A growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. In education, what I was trying to relate to them was, you know, the fixed mindset is when you say, I'm no good at math. This is too hard. I can't do it. The growth mindset would say, well, maybe math isn't my best subject, but I can get better at it. Maybe this is challenging for me, but I can work harder at it. The ability that you see that you can grow and not just be in that fixed mindset where things are the way they are and there's nothing you can do about it. And I think that young people really struggle with that. As they get older, once you kind of get to a certain age and you can see, I mean, it's easy to imagine a kid who, because, you know, socialization is so difficult when you're young. And, you know, if you kind of see yourself as a class clown, you kind of get that fixed mindset where, like, that's where I fit in. That's my place. That's who I am. And then you just kind of act that way out of habit and out of not being able to see yourself be something different. Or, you know, there's any number of ways we can kind of become fixed. And children kind of get in that, and it's difficult to get out of once you kind of picture yourself as a certain kind of person. But it doesn't end with, you know, being young. It doesn't end for children. Adults, we fall into that as well. We look at certain things that we do, ways that we envision ourselves, and we think, I'm not the kind of person who can lead in worship. I'm not the kind of person who talks to other people about my religion, about what I believe, about Christ. You know, I'm not the kind of person who does this, or this is something I've always struggled with, this sin. That's just kind of a part of who I am. We get that fixed mindset and we don't believe we can be more and we can be better. But God has promised us that that's never the case. That we can always avoid that sin and we can always grow. And that's what repentance is. It's changing our minds about what we've done and who we've been. And believing we can be something different and we can be better. And continuing in sin is you know, the opposite of that. It's believing that we're fixed the way that we are, that we can't repent. It might be because of stubbornness, it's sometimes very difficult for us to admit when we're wrong and when we've been wrong about something. And, you know, we kind of have a way of maybe even subconsciously convincing ourselves that it's not that bad or we're justified in doing it. So it might be a little bit of stubbornness. It might be, as I said earlier, ignorance. And it might just be weakness. It might be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that, you know, we're being drawn away from God in that. So we will all have moments of weakness. We will all have moments of sin. But how do we respond to that? Do we repent? Do we try to find the escape that God has given us when we're faced with that the next time? I wanted to read from Matthew chapter 13. Will we allow these moments of weakness and selfishness and sin to persist, or will we repent? Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to read verses 18 through 22. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and then tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word. Immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Here we see several ways that we can find ourselves disconnected from God and disconnected from righteousness and falling into a fixed mindset of the way that we can be, letting the world come in and choke out the word, and that we're unfruitful. Our adversary is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is going to be there to continue to push that snowball further and further down the hill and convince you that it's unmanageable and that it's out of your control. And that's who you are. But we have been promised again that it is not the case, and that Satan can only do that if we allow him to do so. I wanted to read from Ephesians chapter 4. And there's a phrase here that I had in mind about giving opportunity to the devil that I wanted to read, but I thought the context around it was very important. So it's a few verses. It's a little lengthier, but it's Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32. So I'm going to go ahead and read that in its entirety. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So do not give place to the devil. Do not give opportunity to Satan. All of those things that Paul was writing about, let the thief no longer steal. It's within his power to change the way that he was behaving. The people who were letting corrupting talk out of their mouths can change the way they were speaking. We can change. So that snowball of sin will never be beyond our ability to stop. Now let's think for a moment about righteousness. Generally, when we think of something snowballing, it's not usually like a good connotation. We don't usually use that phrase for positive things. When something snowballs, it's generally something that's not that great. But I hope that when it comes to our choices spiritually, things that are within our control, we can capitalize on positive momentum that we have in our lives. And it can grow and grow and grow. And again, this is anecdotal, so you know, forgive me that. But I know that also, just as there have been times in my life where my conscience kind of got seared to certain things, I also know that once I've gotten better at certain things, it almost does feel like it gets a little easier. When you separate yourselves from those things, and the longer that it goes, the more strength, the more conviction, the more power that I realize I have. And I don't know, again, it feels like it gets a little easier as I've made positive choices, as I surround myself with good people, as I realize I have control over those temptations. Don't confuse that with me being perfect or having obtained anything. But again, it's just, I know that there are some things that I've gotten better at as time has gone on. I'll give you another analogy from my life. I used to be able to run for a while. There were times where I was in shape and I could, and I was doing longer distance running. Now, I could make it to the back doors. I might be a little out of breath, but there was a time where I was running longer distances, and not that I was ever a runner, but it was almost like you could get to this point where once you kind of got past feeling a little tired or feeling a little sore or feeling a little out of breath, it was kind of like you got into like a groove, and then your body just kept going, and it felt normal. Like once you got past that certain point, where then you could kind of go for miles. Once you really got past that and you built up your endurance, and there was always that point like after a mile or so where I kind of had to push through it, and then it was almost like your body just got numb and it didn't hurt anymore. And you could breathe, and it was really just kind of an amazing feeling. I'll probably never feel that again. It took a while to get there, but I relate that to things in my spiritual life where, when I've been doing well at a certain thing, it gets to a point where it does get easier, where those sins that I was ensnared in before, once I fought it once, it was easier the second time. And then it was easier the third time. And it started feeling good. It started feeling right. I started feeling connected to God in those ways. And now there are things that I look back on that I did, and with humility, I hope that I'll never do them again. But it may have been difficult the first time to turn away from that. And maybe you can relate to that, or maybe not. That's okay. But I think when we resist the devil, well, I don't think, this is what God said, James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, does that mean he's never going to try again? Of course not. But I think that tells us if we resist the devil, we have the strength to grow and get closer to God and better handle temptation. And he is going to be there every step of the way to provide us that way out, because that is what he wants. He desires for us to find that way out that he's promised for us. And of course, vitally, we can be there for each other to help in those things as well. So I hope that this has been an encouraging lesson. I hope that as we looked at sin, we realize it's never beyond our control. And we always have that way out. It's never something that we're too far gone. We don't have to have that fixed mindset about who we are or who we can be. I hope that it has been encouraging that you can break down that barrier of sin and you can grow closer and closer and closer to God, and that there is hope and encouragement out there from our Savior and from each other. He will provide that avenue of escape. We just have to be willing that first time to reach out and to find it. We have an opportunity this morning. If you have found yourself in a place that you don't want to be in, that you don't believe God wants you to be in, if you've never taken him on in baptism, taken on Christ in baptism, you can do that this morning. We will be glad to help you. Or if you are a member of the church and you feel like you need to change the momentum in your life and you need to repent and come back, again, we stand ready to pray with you and rejoice with you in that. If you'll come forward, as together we stand and sing.